This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
After a very professional performance against struggling Millwall on Wednesday, Kieran McKenna and Ipswich Town are on the road once again, looking to go again at Swansea. Join us as we preview Saturday's game here on the Blue Monday podcast. Hello, and thank you for joining us here at the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the sound up or down since 2015. I'm Rich Woodward, and welcome to the pre-match show in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. Joining me, as always, to give his learned eye. Can you have a learned eye? Yeah, why not? The inside track, another cliche similar to that on Town's weekend opponents. Seb Brown, my northwestern friend, Borodar, Penbluey Hapus. How are you, mate?
Very good. I thought you might do the whole intro in Welsh. I'm a little bit disappointed you haven't spent the last week.
I've exhausted my Welsh with that.
Preparing. No, I'm good. Thank you, mate. Still buzzing off last night. Have you left that seat in the last 22 hours or did you just shut down and sit there waiting to go live tonight?
I mean, you joke, but this is where I work as well. I work from home. And so basically I've been stood in this spot for about 24 hours straight now. So
dedication.
Bring it on, you know. And yeah, well, let's say hello to the chat and then we'll get your thoughts on the Millwall game. Reasons to be optimistic, definitely ahead of the weekend as well. So obviously we're here to talk about Swansea. Get us your thoughts on that. But we're happy to have your thoughts on Millwall. We're happy to have your thoughts on 100 league games in charge for Kieran McKenna and anything else Ipswich Town related. But let's see who we've got. We've got Jason here. He's happy that Burgess is back. Certainly gives us the balance. Michael's here. Very wet Brisbane. The boys are working very hard. Give them a thumbs up, please. God bless you, Michael, for doing our PR for you. Thank you for that. Yeah, do give us a thumbs up. Let us know you are there. Evening to Rob, and also a lot of love for Burgess. Gives us a nice balance and seems to allow Leaf more freedom. Yeah, a lot of love for the left-hand side. Romeo, got a feeling the Swans will make themselves a bit harder to beat after the Leeds debacle. We'll definitely talk to that in a bit. Mullet here, are we going to win Saturday? We hope so. The predictions, we'll get to that also later on. And I think there's general air of positivity in the predictions too. Neil, wouldn't it be lovely to get max points from the next two games? Why not max points for the rest of the season, Neil? But yeah, let's take every game as it comes and see where we are before next Saturday. Yeah, it's said with all these games kind of coming up, you know where you stand quite soon, won't you? Saturday, Tuesday. And as we keep talking about, the fixture list is a lot friendlier than it has been of late.
Yeah, it's relentless at the moment, isn't it? What did we ever, last year, did we ever define what the run-in was? Is that 10 games to go is the run-in?
We definitely did a live show. It might have been actually a pre-match show. And I said the run-in begins now. So I need to figure out what show that was. It might have been like Derby, maybe. I'm not sure.
After Birmingham next Saturday, it's going to be, what, 12 games to go, I think? So we're getting very close to run-in kind of territory. I think, well, yeah, we'll say 10 is the official run-in. So we're in the business end of the season, aren't we? So,
business end of the season.
Yeah, yeah, they come thick and fast. The Rotherham rearranged game obviously is imminent. And then yeah, international break coming back in March. But yeah, pretty soon we're gonna if we can put a decent run of form together, we will certainly get ourselves right back into it.
Yep. Evening to Chris. Looking forward to some forensic reveals on Swansea's weaknesses. I mean, you could just watch the Leeds highlights, frankly, Chris. But no, stay here. We've got more than that. More than that. No, you definitely need to stick around. Rando, still on the high from last night. And be nice to Seb. I'm always lovely to Seb. He's lovely. Yakida, Seb. Cheers to you, my good friend from the Welsh Valleys. No, Andreas is here. Weather has been getting weather reports. Love it, Seb. We should add the weather into the map. You know, it's important.
Should I put it in the script for next week? Before news, we'll do weather.
Yeah. It'll be rainy in Swansea, won't it?
Always in Wales.
Like when we went to Manchester and it was rainy in Manchester last week as well. Matt's here as well. Can't believe we had to wait 24 hours for another pod. I can only apologise on the lack of content, Matt, in between times. But hopefully plenty for you tonight. And thank you for joining us once again. Nick is here as well. Yeah, and another Nick and a Mark. And Kev is here as well. Always love his analysis on what's going on at ITFC. And yeah, good to have you here, folks. And Tim's asking who's off to Swansea. We probably need to declare, Seb. We're having a weekend off, aren't we? You're not going down, are you? Neither am I.
No, I've done Swansea before a couple of times. In fact, we've done it once together, didn't we? For a non-Ipswich game, didn't we? Yeah. We see a Premier League game there randomly one.
We saw a friend of Bristol Rovers on Saturday and thought, well, we'll take a ground off because Swansea were Premier League and pretty established Premier League.
Yeah, that was it. It was in Newcastle, wasn't it, I think? Yeah, so I have done it in the past, and there's no motorways in Wales, so it's a real pain in the ass to get to. So, nope, having a weekend off, I will follow it on Radio Suffolk.
Yeah, Chris confirming that the run-in is when we started to win last season. So essentially, the same logic, we're there now. Good to have lots of you here from all over the world as well. Thank you, folks. Do keep your questions in mind for later on in the chat as well. Michael asks, is anyone in the chat from Ipswich? I'm from Ipswich. I'm representing Ipswich here. We love the fact that this is a global fan base, don't we? So, yeah. Let's talk about Millwall, Seb, before we talk about Swansea. We did an hour or so, Joe and I, on that last night. You can watch that again. Link in the usual places. But, you know, positive, Seb. Nothing really to complain about at all. We had a few comments in about certain bits and pieces, as generally is. But really, apart from the first 15 minutes, which is a little bit of hectic, shall we say, nothing to complain about.
No, very much so. Yeah, they started quickly, as we thought they probably would, given how they've started games. And we seem to be giving them an awful lot of free kicks and corners in that first 10, 15 minutes. Flaggy kind of pushed a couple away. And I kind of started to think, oh, this might be a bit trickier than I was expecting. And then Amari Hutchinson has his injury. You know, he sits down badly hurt, has a sip of water from the physio. And all of a sudden, it's a completely different game. And yeah, I mean, Broadhead's header, the technique for the header was absolutely superb. Bit of luck with the own goal, but it's a great ball down the line from Davis to Broadhead and a great ball in. So you make your own luck. You deserve that bit of luck sometimes. Kiefer Hetmore's header was one of the slowest goals I've ever seen, the way it kind of bounced down. Clearly, he watched Michael Owen's soccer school when he was a kid. Always told
well
you
done. To he's only 12. Down.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then at halftime, the game is won, isn't it? So it's a case of, you know, do we make subs at halftime? Do we look to sort of see the game out with some in-game management? And that's pretty much what's happened. And then Ali came off the bench. How do you pronounce his surname? Because I think he struggled again last night, didn't you?
How dare you? Ali Al-Hamadi. That's what I'm going with.
Not that easy sometimes, is it? Yeah, come off the bench, great for him. Looks like the foul started outside the box of the penalty, but delighted that he's up and running for us. And yeah, a game of positives, really weird parallels to this time last year when we know the run started and 4-0 became such a common kind of scoreline, didn't it, in the 10 games before the end of the season. And yeah, a positive result. Hopefully we can follow up at the weekend, and with Rotherham and Birmingham to come next week, it's a chance to build some real momentum and sort of, you know, poke Southampton in the eye, kick Leeds in the knee and remind them that we're not going anywhere without a fight.
Piss off, Leeds. Yeah, take a breath, mate. Seb's a bit under the weather as well. It's like a virus going through the Blue Monday camp. You did really well. It's like you coughed a little bit. It's like, take a breath, mate. And then you kept going even more. And then you started slagging off Southampton and Leeds. So at Brown, SO8, if you want to talk to Seb, if you're a Leeds and Southampton fan. Kind of wrapped into the Millwall situation, Seb, is Kieran McKenna's 100th game in charge. We posted to our socials the stats around that. Just a crazy win percentage, really. And the number of defeats as well, only 12 out of 100 league games.
Yeah.
And obviously, only, I think, four or five in the calendar year, I think, 2023, I think, or from the start of 2023 to now, I think. Just immense stats. We've had chat about interest from elsewhere, obviously article in The Guardian. There's a whole situation at Palace right now. We obviously send our best to Roy Hodgson and the medical situation that he's dealing with at the moment, and not a great situation there, but it feels like that's a little bit more certain in terms of McKenna's future for the foreseeable. Just give us your take. Give plenty of love and affection to Kieran McKenna, but your reflections on 100 games in charge.
The record is mental, isn't it? 202 points from 100 games in charge is absolutely phenomenal. 12 defeats, 4 in the last calendar year, 2 of which were against Leeds, you know, parachute payment side Leeds. And yeah, I mean, he's transformed everything, hasn't he? Let's be honest. You know, he came in, we were, 11th, I think it was, when Cook kind of leaves us and you kind of see the building blocks starting. I remember a game away to Gillingham, his first away game maybe, because there was a delay because of COVID over the Christmas period. And we started to see a few patterns of play, which are now so obvious to us, you know, the fullback cutting back to players kind of running in the edge of the box. And over time, we've been absolutely blessed. And, you know, we're going to have to put up with this speculation. It sounds like the Palace one has gone away. I saw Fabrizio Romano tweeted earlier saying that somebody, is it a German manager from the Bundesliga, is about to be hopefully signed in there. And that puts that one to bed. But it's the way of the world, isn't it? You know, the better we do, the more likely he's going to get pinched by somebody else. It sounds like there'll probably be some vacancies in the Premier League in the summer, which we might have to fend off. But, you know, he's an incredibly intelligent guy. We've been saying this now for the last 2 and a bit years, haven't we? You know, he will know exactly where he wants to be at certain stages of his career. Is Palace at this point a more attractive option than us? Possibly not. You know, you've got these two young players who are very good, but you're probably going to lose one in the summer. You might well get relegated. It's not long to be able to kind of put your philosophies across without a preseason or a transfer window. So, you know, I'm not sure that's necessarily very attractive. Maybe if West Ham, maybe if Brighton comes up, then he's got a decision to make. But he's the kind of character, you know, we know his integrity by now. He's the kind of character who I firmly believe would not walk away mid-season. And if we do fail to go up this year, then yeah, what will be in the summer. What's the old saying? Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. That's the way I think we need to view the situation. You know, for the moment, he's ours. Enjoy him for as long as he is ours, because he's absolutely phenomenal. And fingers crossed, we'll be sat here at 200 games with 400 points, having become a Premier League established side. And yeah, he'll continue to lead us for a long time, because we're spoiled, aren't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah, another philosopher said, life is a roller coaster, just got to ride it. And there's a lot of truth in that, Seb. Neil says, 198 goals, (?), 189 goals scored, only 87 conceded. Yeah, fabulous stats. And as we saw last night and we see every week, just a really astute guy. And we're so grateful to have him. Lightning in a bottle kind of moment. So, yeah, enjoy the ride, let's say. And let's hope that there's many more games to come. Rando knows exactly who I'm talking about. Another manager is celebrating a milestone, Seb. Joe Sheehan, 5 years in charge with ITFC Women. Really great interview on Town TV, which we recommend. And a great interview with Blue Monday podcast just after Christmas, I think. If you want to go and check that out. Always great to chat with Joe. Again, really astute, really smart guy, doing really great work. They're obviously a bit of a stutter of late. You know, the women's and men's teams always generally mirror each other for some weird reason, but looking to get back on track themselves on Sunday. MK Dons are the visitors, actually doing pretty well this season. Rallied, having been pretty mid-table and average for the last few seasons, but yeah, actually just a little bit behind Ipswich, albeit Town have got some games in hand. So get down to the AGL, enjoy some football on Sunday. If you can't get to Swansea and you wanted to get your fill of ITFC football, then AGL 2 p.m. on Sunday in Felixstowe, and get behind the Tractor Girls. Another thing to keep an eye out for as well, we'll do this via our socials. Our friends at Ipswich Witches have got two tickets for Rotherham on Tuesday night. So we'll be giving that away on our socials. It's like Ben's here, isn't it? Just exactly like that. Which has got their new season coming up in March 24th, I think it is, the new season starts. So if you've never been to the Speedway, have you ever done Speedway at Vauxhall, Seb?
Never have. Driven past it many times on my way to the tip in Ipswich, but never swung in.
It's great. Dave and I are big fans of the Speedway. Dave particularly, very long-standing Ipswich Witches fan. So yeah, head to ipswichwitches.co, I think is their website address, for more information about getting down to Vauxhall and supporting the Witches. They had a great season last time out, nearly won the championship, I think, lost in the playoffs, right at the death, really narrow, dramatic stuff. Speedway's great if you love a bit of, you know, racing and motorbikes and just pandemonium and yeah, and the smell of petrol or fuel, then you can head down to Vauxhall. But yeah, keep an eye on to our socials tomorrow. And the witches are very kindly giving us two tickets to give away. So yeah, really excited to do that. Let's talk about Swansea then, Seb. And there's so many parallels with Millwall, I think, for Swansea. A lot of managerial change, more so than Millwall, but it just feels like they're struggling to establish an identity, a really core identity, you know, in the two managers prior. You know, we know about Ross Martin and his philosophy, but even before that, Swansea, you know, very methodical, patient build up, short passing, high possession, you know, attractive passing football. And then a bit of a changing of the guard in the summer, and it hasn't really worked out, has it?
No, like Millwall, maybe trying to change too much too soon. You know, when they were in the Premier League, I remember the term Swansea-ola was used quite a few times to kind of refer to them. Well, they had Roberto Martinez and Brendan Rodgers. They were known for this, you know, possession-based, really attractive playing, passing style. And that became what they were known for. And Mike Duff went in there. Russell Martin obviously leaves in the summer to go to Southampton. There were some arguments there about the date he went based on compensation clauses, but he eventually did move on. And they appointed Mike Duff, who obviously we know from last season as a bit of an adversary in our promotion charge last year. And the thing that we associate with Mike Duff football is high pressing, isn't it? High pressing, high intensity, more direct, certainly more direct than what Swansea are used to. And was it a case of trying to change too much too quickly? You know, you've got a squad that's been primarily recruited for passing attractive football. It's a bit like when we had was it Lambert? We worked out he had remnants of Paul Hurst, Mick McCarthy's, kind of all these different reigns of players who kind of played slightly different. It's very difficult to get those kind of new ideas and changes across without proper pre-seasons, proper backing in transfer windows. It didn't help that he lost some big assets last summer. That one he can't be blamed for. But I think it's a case very much like Millwall. You try and change too much too soon. The owners get a bit edgy because it's not working out. You make a decision and you kind of go back to what you know, which is what they've done.
And we'll talk about the Leeds game in a sec, but the players clearly a little bit confused what they're there to do. And, you know, we talk about how Kieran McKenna has those ingrained patterns of play. The teams are so well-drilled, coached to know exactly what they're doing. But when you pivot from one philosophy to a very different one very quickly, as Millwall did and as Swansea are doing, sometimes you're okay. You know, they got a 1-0 win, for example, at Hull.
Yeah.
But then backed it up with defeats to Plymouth and to Leeds in the league at home. And the defensiveness for Leeds just screams lack of organisation, understanding, and players perhaps, you know, when you cross the white line, the players have to be responsible, certainly, for some of the decision-making. But if you're still not bought into or understand what the manager wants you to do, it leads to situations that happened on Tuesday night against Leeds. Give us the state of play then, Seb, the kind of situation there.
So currently sat 17th in the table with 36 points. They've only won 9 of the 32 games they've played so far this season. It's a minus 12 goal difference. They've conceded 52 goals so far this season, which is the joint third worst in the league after Rotherham and Blackburn. It's tied with Plymouth, Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. So all those names I've just listed are the ones involved in the involved the relegation scrap, aren't they? And yeah, 52 goals conceded after 32 games played is crazy. The season started really poorly for them. I remember when Mike Duff was appointed, they didn't win, did they, for the first 7 games. They included a South Wales defeat to Derby defeat to Cardiff in there as well, so it took a bit of time to get going. And it's even with the new manager coming in, it's still very inconsistent. He's had a bit of a baptism of fire. We'll discuss the fixtures he's played since he took over at the start of January, but he's had a bit of a baptism of fire. Their last 5 overall is 20th in the form table, so pretty poor. It's 4 defeats. Now the names I'm about to read out will explain why he's had this baptism of fire. He's faced Leeds, Plymouth, okay, fair enough, Leicester and Southampton so far since he took over. So not an easy kind of run of games to get your feet under the table for. As you mentioned, he has beaten Hull, so that's a decent result against a playoff chasing side in recent weeks, but it's a minus 8 goal difference for the last 5 games. Only kept 6 clean sheets so far this season, which is the 19th best, so 6th worst effectively in the division. The keeper is busy, 5th, sorry, yeah, you're better at maths than I am. The keeper is busy. He's averaging 3.5 saves per match, which is the 3rd highest in the division. division. So you've got a team that's conceding a lot of goals, a keeper that's very, very busy because the defence in front of him either isn't doing what they're meant to be doing or isn't good enough to be doing what they're meant to be doing. And it's a bit of a cauldron for a disaster, isn't it, so far? Last five at home is three straight defeats: Leeds, Plymouth and Southampton. Two victories before that, West Brom and Preston. Preston were in that iffy run of form, and West Brom, we know, don't really travel well. Not scored in the last two. Goal difference minus five from the last five games at home. And they've only scored three or more goals once at home, which is a 3-0 victory over Sheffield Wednesday, when I think that's when they were pretty much cannon fodder towards the start of the season. So it's a season that hasn't kind of got going at all. There is a caveat for Luke Williams, the new manager, that he has faced the three parachute sides since he's come in, and us on the horizon. So it's a very tough start for him. There's an FA Cup game against Bournemouth in there as well. So it's a tough start for him, but it's a season which they'll need to get themselves safe. I don't think they'll go down. I think they're 6 or 7 points clear of the relegation zone. And at this stage of the season, you can't see the likes of, you know, Rotherham and the sides that are down there getting enough points on the board to drag them into. So I think they'll be okay this year. And I guess Luke Williams has to use this, 15 games to go, 13 games to go, whatever it is, to kind of evaluate his squad, get his point of his patterns of play across, and look to really build for next summer, because they're in danger of just becoming a really, you know, mediocre championship side, aren't they?
Yeah, there's still some quality players there, though. That's the only thing kind of that gives me a little bit of hope for them. I mean, we shouldn't underestimate them, of course. I know that we always need to tread the line on this podcast about giving respect and versus blowing smoke, but anything is possible in the Championship, as we know. It's a cliche, but there are still quality players there. We'll talk about specific personnel later on as well. But yeah, there is just a little bit of dysfunction about how they're trying to do things. And that's because it's the evolution that we've talked about. It's the changing of philosophies. And there's a lot of stuff that's very Millwall-y there. You know, surprising how poor the home form is. It's a long old way to go to Swansea, and you kind of think they'd make it a fortress. But yeah, not the case. 21st best, isn't it? So yeah, third worst home form in the league this season. Talk to us about the Leeds game, Seb. I think a lot of us have seen the highlights and, you know, I guess are licking our lips a little bit that there is similar personnel in our team to do likewise, but a lot of mitigating circumstances with the goals and particularly the defensive structure, weren't there?
Yeah, so I mean, on paper, I mean, we lost 4-0 to Leeds. There's no disgrace. You know, Leeds are capable of blowing sides away. But when you see the goals back, the tactics they employed with their high line looked absolutely suicidal against quick players, which, you know, those three behind the main striker at Leeds do have. I mean, it's a bit of luck. It's deflection for the opener. Poor goalkeeping, I would suggest, for the second. Rushworth actually had a pretty good game, the goalkeeper. He kind of kept the scoreline fairly respectable. It was just this high line. I mean, goal after goal was Leeds hitting them on the break, wasn't it? Quick players getting in behind, finding the space in behind to punish them. And do you think that's a bit of naivety from the manager? You know, it's okay if you're at Notts County. We'll discuss where he came from, but to be at Notts County last year in the National League in a shootout with Wrexham, and you can employ these kind of tactics because, a bit like us last year, you're the big fish in a small pond, aren't you? Do you think it's a bit of naivety to go up against a parachute club with the resources and the firepower that Leeds have and employ that high line and those tactics? And from what I could see from the highlights, didn't seem to really make any kind of tactical tweaks to fix it. He came out after the game, didn't he, and said we were a bit timid, we didn't commit fully, which meant we were able to be picked off. You know, I was just surprised that time after time Leeds seemed to be getting in the same way without the manager changing something. Do you think that's a bit of naivety on his part?
I kind of think, like, you mentioned it with us, you know, we got dicked by Leeds. Let's call it what it is. Sometimes you just have to accept you're in between a rock and a hard place and, you know, just dust yourself down and move on to the next game. The trouble is the next game is against us, you know, so you've gone from second to fourth, haven't you? So I listened to the post-match interview after Leeds, and it felt like he was quite critical, actually, of the players for not buying into the instructions that he'd set out. He talked about the Leicester defeat where they sat deep and got picked off that way. So purposefully went for the high line and kind of suggested that certain players or some of the players didn't fully commit to that. And essentially that's what we're talking about in terms of players that are drilled and coached in one way of playing and then have to change it. And I think that's where he was coming from. I agree with you that, you know, maybe there's a little bit of pragmatism that's needed, but essentially you could play deep or you could play high against Leeds. You're probably still going to lose, aren't you, if you're Swansea?
Yeah,
no disrespect.
I would just want my manager, I think, if I was getting done the same way time and time again, I would want tactical changes to be made in the game to stop
maybe
that from occurring.
Yeah, and yeah, there was. I'm gonna single out a single player. Ben Cabanga had a pretty bad game in terms of managing that line. He's the guy who's got his hands up, the number five for offside, you know, twice, I think, maybe three times, and for goals or chances that Leeds created. And, you know, it just takes one defender to not, you know, follow the line or not to hold the right line, and it all falls apart, and Leeds were just merciless in picking them off. So,
yeah,
difficult, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about Martin leaving, Duff coming in. Give folks some insight into Luke Williams. Maybe not a name that's maybe well known too far beyond people who have watched This Is Wrexham, when they were obviously the rivals with Wrexham last season, but a highly rated guy, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so, and he's kind of done his time in youth academies and a couple of bigger clubs as well. So he's come from Notts County. He's left them fifth in League Two, part of that epic National League title shootout with Wrexham last season. He got 107 points last season, and that was only enough to finish second because Wrexham got 110, 111, I think it was at the time. It was kind of this, like Man City and Liverpool in the Premier League a few years ago, they just won every single week, and it pretty much came down to the game between them when Ben Foster saved a penalty at the racecourse that meant that they got across the line ahead of County. County then regroup and they win the playoffs, which is great because they fully deserve it. He was kind of, that's where
Paul Cook's Chesterfield, didn't they?
They did, yeah, they did, and they fully deserved it. You know, you don't get 107 points and then not get promoted. That would be ridiculous. So he did a good job this year as well. A lot of the bookies were saying that Wrexham and Notts County would go straight through League Two. They're big clubs at that level with decent financial backing. A certain Mr. David McGoldrick is there, so you've maybe got a bit of a cheat code at that level as well. And he's left them in a healthy place. He's left them fifth in the playoff positions in League Two, and he signed a 3.5-year deal with Swansea. He's taken most of his backroom coaching staff and analysis team with him, so they're clearly giving him a free rein over the coaching and the staff set up. So they're kind of giving full faith behind him. As I said earlier, he does play this attractive, more possession-based style of football in his Notts County days, which was heavily referenced to in his appointment by the Swansea chairman and the Swansea director of football. So it's kind of, you know, appeasing the fans to maybe suggest, yes, we did get it wrong with Mike Duff and his kind of high pressing, more direct football. We're going to go back to what we know. His overall record at County, we were discussing, obviously, Kieran McKenna's record a minute ago, is 1.98 points per game from the 80 games he managed there for just over 18 months or so. So a very decent record. He was previously on the Swansea staff. He was a part of the coaching setup under Russell Martin at both MK Dons and then Swansea when Russell Martin moved across. I think he was assistant manager for a spell there as well. So it is a club that he knows. He does know how the club works and what their kind of philosophies are. Bit of a parallel with Kieran McKenna. His playing career was cut short at a youngish age with an injury, something McKenna can obviously relate to. He had coaching spells at Leyton Orient and West Ham. He was the under-21 manager at Brighton under Gus Poyet. At one spell, he was the under-23 manager at Bristol City. It's not his second gig in full charge. He had a role at Swansea, but they got relegated to League Two. Swindon. But I think that's when Swansea were Swindon was showing kind of showing some signs of becoming the basket case they were a couple of years ago. So you can't entirely blame him from there. And yeah, I mean, I think he's a fairly sensible appointment given the philosophy they want to play. You know, we've seen in the past, well, as we know, Paul Hurst, you know, sometimes you appoint managers from a couple of leagues down with very little experience and you kind of think to yourself, is this one going to work out? But I would suggest the body of work he's done in the National League, he had them in a good place in League Two when he left Notts County. He knows the club previously from his time on the staff there. I think he's a pretty good fit, but he's definitely going to need a pre-season, a transfer window with some money spent. They sold Joel Pirro last summer to Leeds, so they need to reinvest some of that money, I think, to get the players in the building that he wants to play, the kind of style he's going to look to develop with them.
Hashtag in the building. I haven't got particularly fond memories of Swansea. There were some, particularly the kind of middle of the Marcus Evans era, it seemed we lose every time we played Swansea. Give us the history, Seb.
It's very close. So between the two sides, 11 Ipswich wins, 9 draws and 12 Swansea wins. The 3-2 game back in October, November was the most recent meeting between the two. It was the game with the Jack Taylor absolute worldie. 1-0 down early on. It was that phase where we were conceding goals within the first 10 minutes of matches. So 1-0 down to a Jay Fulton opener and then, an absolute worldie from Taylor, Chaplin and a Hurst penalty. The last time we played at the Swansea.com stadium was a 3-2 victory for a certain Paul Hurst. If you were there at that game and you saw Paul Hurst's one victory, put it in the chat, because the man never won a game in England. He won one game in Swansea. It was in Wales. It was a 3-2 victory in the October, I think, of that season. And guess what I'm going to throw at you now, because it's inevitable.
I'm trying to remember the goals. Well, Chalobah wins it, doesn't he?
Chalobah does win it, yeah. So it looks like it's a 4-3-3. So, yeah, how many can you get from the lineup of that famous win where we thought the corner was about to be turned?
So let's go front to back. So presumably at this point, Gherkin is in goal.
Yeah, because he's dropped Bart for the Norwich game, hasn't he?
Is Knudsen back in the team at this point?
Nope.
Chambo?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. There were Loney's at centre-back, perhaps?
No, Loney at right-back. Looks like he was playing slightly out of position.
Pennington?
Yeah, he was the right-back on the day, according to the BBC Football website. So you need the other centre-half alongside Chambers and the left-back. The left-back was also out of position and is still at Ipswich Town to this day.
Is he? Wolfenden? Yeah.
No, General Danasian.
Okay, yeah. Well, Danasian can play both sides. Yeah, fine. Wow, this is a weird team. But the other centre-back, I'm going to need a clue.
I think I used the same clue 2 weeks ago. I tried to fight the fans at Charlton.
Oh, okay.
Was rated by Paul Cook ahead of Luke Wolfenden.
Yeah, Toto. Nolan?
No.
No.
Mr. Dependable sits in the middle. Chambers' best mate. Yeah, Skuse and Chalobah were the kind of pivot in central midfield. It looks like we had a slightly more advanced midfielder as well who scored last night, I think, or the night before.
For
a championship side.
Dizelle?
Yep.
Quion Edwards?
He was on the right wing. I think he scored or forced an own goal from Brightley. The left winger and the striker, central striker.
Someone said Ellis Harrison in the chat. Neil.
No, I think he was injured at the time.
Striker.
For years. Got chucked out onto the wing by Mick and
Sears.
Yeah, I think he scored as well, actually.
And then left wing, is it?
Left wing. Judge. Yeah. No, before Judge joined. Judge joined in the window.
Okay.
After that, so hat trick on his debut a couple of years previously.
Grant Ward.
Grant Ward. Yeah, what a seam. And Bertrand Selina played for Swansea.
Of course he scored. He marauded.
They destroyed us that day, didn't they? They battered us. I mean, I looked at the stats. It was 73 possession for Swansea, 19 shots for them. I seem to remember they absolutely battered us, but we got across the line with it.
Yeah. There's some good stuff in the chat. Chris says Dan James versus Matt Pennington still gives me nightmare. Mullet. Saw Gwion outside afterwards. Lovely hair, like a mini Mikey Penty Smith. He's at Morecambe, Gwion Edwards.
Yeah, he signed a short-term deal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You can still find him. Yeah, as I say, no positive memories. I remember us being smashed at home on Sky to them. Andros Townsend might have been playing for us. Was it 4-0 or something like that?
And yeah, I think 3-0, I think.
Tonked 4-0.
Denied
4-1.
A blatant penalty in that game, if anybody remembers. A blatant penalty just before. I think we got denied the penalty and they went straight up the other end and scored, if I remember rightly.
I'm going to do my Alan Partridge shrug at that, but
it's not a side that
let it go, man. Fond, let it go.
Fond memories of at all.
Let it go. Not much more to say on that. Crap history, basically, isn't it? And an opportunity to make it level overall, isn't it?
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's go back to talking Swansea then. Any January business you want to draw our attention to?
Yeah, a little bit. So Yannick Bolasie, former Everton, former Palace, big money move, I think, at one time. He signed a short-term deal in November, but he couldn't agree a full-time contract, so he's since moved on. They've got Ronald, who is a right-winger slash right-forward. He's coming from Brazil. He's just over £1 million they've spent on him. The idea for the January business seems to be width and kind of attacking options, I guess, to boost the... They've got Fulton and Grimes in central midfield, so it's a pretty combative, kind of sturdy central midfield. They just need to add a bit of flair in front of it to try and create stuff for the forwards. Charles Segu Jr., who is a left winger on loan from Arsenal. I think he's quite highly rated at Arsenal.
Against Brentford in the cup, I think.
Yeah, he's been involved in a couple of Champions League squads, I think. So I think that's a pretty decent move for him. And I'll let you pronounce it. They're taking somebody on loan from Norwich, a left winger who Norwich once spent £3 million on, but he's gone on loan to Swansea, and you'll call him...
Well, I'm going to call him Shemi Placeta, but I think it's premise law. Placeta, but they call him Shemi. Really
much
quick.
Better than I could have done it.
Rapid. Need to be careful of him. But yeah, I think he's signed on a free, actually, not a loan.
Oh, was it free? Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. But otherwise...
No real key departures. No. The left-back went on loan to Sheffield Wednesday. A couple of kids went out on loan. There was nothing dramatic in the departures. They didn't really spend all the Joel Pirro money. They kind of bought in Jerry Yates in the summer for, I think, just about £2 million. Josh Tymon, the left-back, came in for a bit of money, but they didn't really splash out all of the Joel Pirro money. So either they've kind of paid off some debts, or you would think there'll be a bit of backing for Luke Williams in the summer.
And let's talk about how Williams will set them up.
Well, it's likely to be a 4-2-3-1. That's what he's used in 5 of the 6 games so far that he's been in charge of. As we said earlier, perhaps that's a little bit naive. His Notts County side was very similar to us, the way it played. You know, you've got centre halves moving forward with the ball. You've got high wing backs, sort of saying high and wide, and then it gives space for the inside forwards and the attacking midfielders to get into the box and support the central striker. They played out from the back, but you know, the run of fixtures he had, it's not really very easy for us to kind of compare what they're going to be able to do against us, because they've been, you know, taken apart by the Parachute sides. The Notts County sides averaged nearly 70% possession across the season. Last year, so it's heavily possession based side. He's had 48% so far in his 6 games in charge, so he has improved since Michael Duff kind of took over. It's not fair really to judge him based on the fact he's played 3 Parachute clubs and soon to be us and Hull chasing a playoff space.
And let's deal with the likely starters, or the people like to be involved, the big names, and then we'll come back and try and do some statistical analysis. Jamal Lowe, probably the main man, isn't he?
Played well, didn't he, in the Portman Road game? I thought he scored that day. Got a late kind of consolation goal. I thought he played well that day. He's on loan from Bournemouth, 6 goals and 2 assists. Jerry Yates, who I previously mentioned, a couple of £1 million in the summer from Blackpool, I think it was, with some of the Joel Pirro money. He's got 6 goals so far, but he's been a bench option in recent weeks.
I think he went out, didn't he? Was he linked with moves? Maybe he went out, I think.
We were linked at one point. Yeah, I'm not sure how much was really in that. But obviously, he's been a bench option pretty much since most of the January transfer window. So now he's there. Maybe they're looking for him to settle down and get his groove going again. 24-year-old Liam Cullum can kind of play right wing or in a number 10 role. They've got 32-year-old Jamie Patterson as well, who also can play as a winger or a 10. They've got the joint highest goal contributions. They've each got 5 goals and 4 assists. Cullum was the number 9 against Leeds the other night, which obviously didn't really work. Patterson has created a lot of chances. Well, he's created 44 chances so far this season. So they're the two kind of creative outlets. Josh Tymon, that I mentioned a few minutes ago, signed for a couple of £1 million from Stoke. He's a left back. He's got 5 assists so far this season from the left back position. So he's one to look out for. Matt Grimes and Jay Fulton. Fulton scored in the Portman Road games. Matt Grimes got 4 assists so far this season. So they'll be the central midfield double pivot, assuming he keeps it as a 4-2-3-1. His Notts County side was pretty much religiously a 3-at-the-back system with wing backs, but I guess it's too much to kind of look to change that potentially without a preseason to get your stuff across. So expect them to stick with the 4-2-3-1. And they've got Mikola Kukarejevic, I'm going to say. He's a striker signed from Troy last in the summer window, just gone. £1.5 million, 6'3", not really got going at all so far this season. 1 goal from 9 sub appearances, no starts. So I assume he'll pretty much be a bench option if they're looking to chase the game later on and they can't, you know, they're looking to create a bit of chaos at the top of the pitch.
Yeah, a couple of names people might know: Charlie Pantino, Joe Allen. Not really been involved too much of late.
No, Pantino was really high. He started the season really well. I think he was suspended, wasn't he, for the Portman Road game? And it was a real plus because he'd started really well. But since then, he's kind of dropped off it. He's obviously a young player on loan from Arsenal, so these things tend to happen. So he's been a bench option in recent weeks. And yeah, Joe Allen is still there. Obviously came through, Swansea legend, went to went to Liverpool under Brendan, etc. He's back there now, but he's very much a bench option. And they've got some issues as well at right back and down there, their kind of right-hand side. They had Bashir Humphreys, who's quite highly rated. He's on loan from Chelsea. He's a left-sided defender, but he was slotting in at right back on Tuesday night against Leeds, but he got subbed. He had to go off, so he's a doubt for the game because they've got this horrible kind of situation at right back where they've got Josh Keyes, Harrison Ashby and Sam Parker all out injured. So the backup, who was Humphreys, has now gone off injuries as well. So we might see veteran Carl Norton, who was a mainstay, mainstay of their Premier League sides in the days of, you know, Ashley Williams and Michu.
Wayne Routledge.
He was involved back those days. I think he's 35, 36 now. He might well get a run out. Harry Darling, we know him from his MK Don's days. I like Harry Darling. I'd be pretty happy if he came to Portman. I think he's a good player. He's back on the grass, to use one of my favourite terms. He missed the last couple of weeks. He's back on the grass now, but potentially the weekend might come a little bit too early for him.
And yeah, let's give folks some insight, shall we? Things they can expect or what the stats tell us. I mean, attacking-wise, not the best, is it, Seb?
It's not, no. The 17 goals scored at home is the joint third fewest. They take on average 11 shots per game at home, which is 17th. Only four of those are on target, which is the 14th kind of mid-table kind of numbers for the division. They're sixth accurate crosses per game, though, with 4.5. So they do enjoy a cross or two. Defensive-wise, they're not great at all. 13 shots conceded to the opposition per game at home is the fifth worst in the league. 16 goals conceded from open play at home is the second worst in the league, and actually tied with us. We've also conceded 16 goals from open play at home. Four conceded from set pieces, three from direct counter-attacks. I presume most of them came in the Leeds game on Tuesday night. That's the second highest in the division. Only kept three clean sheets so far this season at home. They are sixth for interceptions per match. They average 10 interceptions per match. They're not too bad at that. Third highest, however, for XG against. Hello, all you XG fans. I know how much you love that. And they can be a little bit rash at the back. They are third highest for penalties conceded. They've given away five penalties so far this season. So perhaps they are a little bit rash in the back line.
Yeah. And any magical Seb special insight? I don't have a bumper music thing for it. Any key insights you want to share?
Start quickly. As we saw last night when we killed the game by halftime, this could be a real opportunity for us on the weekend. Swansea have conceded 13 first half goals in their last six games in all competitions. There is a battering by Bournemouth in the FA Cup there, but yeah, this is a side that concedes an awful lot of goals in the first 45 minutes of games. So if we can do what we did last night, hit them quickly and get the game put to bed by halftime, it could be very, very fruitful.
Carnival Nation saying we've had our two penalties for the season already. Yeah. Don't be greedy. We'll shall see. Yeah, start quick. It could be a frenetic opening again, couldn't it? Thank you, Seb, for that. We'll talk about Ipswich in a bit. So get your thoughts on who you want to see come back into the team or stay in the team perhaps for Saturday. But before we do that, well, again, we are brought to you in partnership with the Greyhound. We're really proud and I'm really happy to be in partnership with the fantastic folks at the Greyhound. Obviously, two home games next week, Rotherham and Birmingham, so do get to the Greyhound pre-match before those. We've got our continuing offer with NordVPN going on as well, so if you're looking to,
looking to protect yourself online.
That's what I meant. And, you know, if you want to virtually transport yourself to Amsterdam or somewhere else, NordVPN is what you need. There's a link in the description whether you're watching on video or podcast, and there's an exclusive offer and there's a nice little referral bonus for Blue Monday, so everybody wins. And so there you go. Draw your own conclusions from what Seb and I said there. We said nothing. Flagship show back on Sunday, 8 p.m. live. Ben, Joe and Dave, assuming everyone is fit and raring to go. And next week is going to be busy as well. Tuesday night, Rotherham, as we mentioned, Mikey and Seb, I think, doing their usual post-match reaction. I might jump up the road and join in. And then we've got Birmingham pre-match and then Birmingham flagship. So pretty relentless. Do subscribe. You get the Blue Monday content just landing in your feeds. And obviously, if you're listening on podcast, we appreciate Podcast Land. Do come and join us if you can live in the chat. But we also very much welcome any reviews and ratings that you want to provide in your podcast app of choice. And why not join the Matchday chat in Telegram as well? Go from strength to strength. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk is where all you need is there. Links to everything are there, including Telegram. So yeah, do get involved there. Seb, give me your thoughts on how ITFC will line up on Saturday.
Well, it's rare that the likes of Broadhead and Luongo play three games in a week, isn't it? So I guess we might see some change. Given how suicidal their defending was against Leeds, surely this is going to be a game for pace and ball carriers. That's what I would suggest. I mean, if we start from the front to back, Burgess now, I think, do you assume like me, he's back in now, and, you know, that left-footed balance is lovely. The extra couple of inches in the air is lovely. And I think Edmondson did really well, didn't he, for the 5 weeks he had the shirt. Did brilliantly, but Burgess just raises us to a slightly higher level. So I think he's now back in. So the back five picks itself, I think Travis will come in alongside Morsey, because it's a big ask for Longwood to play three games in a week. I know he got subbed last night, but he was still relatively late on. So yeah, I think Travis comes in for Luongo alongside Morsey. Obviously, Kiefer Moore will be the main striker. I know Alhamadi scored last night, but I still expect Moore to lead the line for the first 65, 70 odd minutes. And then it's the three behind the striker, isn't it? So it's a bit curious as to what we do. I guess if you want out and out pace, you're probably looking at Wes Burns on one flank, Caden Jackson on a flank. If you want ball carriers, it's Hutchinson and it's Sarmiento. Broadhead, however, is back on form and scoring goals. And isn't Broadhead a Swansea fan? Or did I imagine that? When he scored against Cardiff, I'm sure he said he was a Swansea fan. Or did I might have completely made that up. Well, he's a Cardiff fan.
Norman says Broadhead, Moore and Burns will, to his mind, be even more motivated. I'm sure all the Welsh internationals want to play against Swansea, won't they?
Mm, yeah.
And I would be playing them all.
But then you've got to leave Connor Chaplin out for the second game on the bounce. So it's nice to have these issues. If you had to hold a gun to my head and say, what's he going to do? I think I would probably keep Hutchinson in because he played really well. So I guess I'd keep him in the 10. I'd play Burns on the right for the out-and-out pace, and I'd play Sarmiento for the trickery and the ball-carrying ability on the left.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll go to the chat in a second. I kind of think there's logic in Sarmiento for similar reasons. I just think he'll try and keep it as close to the Millwall team as possible because it worked, didn't it? And then you rotate next week.
So Rotherham becomes your easier hit, you reckon? That's where you start to bring different bodies back in.
Maybe so. The question is, you know, as Carnival Nation says, you know, same 11 again, if Luongo can. I think that's possibly the biggest question mark. But I know it seems harsh for Chaplin to not get back in, but Hutchinson did really well, didn't he? And he'll be raring to go again. So,
and Broadhead has looked really good the last few games.
Broadhead's, you know, got back to his levels.
Yeah, we mentioned that Preston, he was great when he came off the bench with his decision making. Obviously, the goal last night, and back to his best with the ball fired in for the own goal as well. So he's looking good, but he very rarely plays three game weeks, does he?
True.
Then he went off in 65 minutes, didn't he? So yeah, nice problems to have.
Indeed. Let's go to the chat. Jason felt we were still slow and gave chances in the first 15. Yeah.
You know, Swansea, but it was all set pieces, wasn't it? It was just set piece after set piece and a couple of kind of second phases when the guy fired one over the bar. So if we hadn't given away so many silly free kicks in and around the box and corners, I don't think it would have felt like...
In the box? Did we give any free kicks away in the box?
All right, pedantic.
You came for me, mate, about Alhamadi. So I'm just... That's my...
I really hoped you were going to pronounce that wrong again.
You say it.
Alhamadi, I go with.
Okay, there you go. Backinson, Bakinson. Michael, try and keep the same 11 points the rest of the games, he says.
Well, we did last year, didn't we? This time last year, it became the established 11 that everyone knew, that everyone, ten to two on a match day, everyone knew what the lineup was going to be. So I guess we will start to see that now. I just think with these two consecutive back-to-back three-game weeks, you're going to have to do some form of rotation.
Yep. Norman reckons Travis for Luongo. I mean, asks that as a question, maybe not as a statement, but yeah, I think
I'd have no issue with that. I think Travis has looked neat and tidy. You know, he dropped in last night and started picking the ball up off the centre halves. And, you know, Blackburn have got a new manager. I guess if we've got designs or maybe wanting to keep him, we need to look at him a little bit and see if, you know, McKenna can work his magic and kind of develop him.
Yep. Rob reckons Chaplin and Travis comes back in. Norman, Broadhead, Moore, Burns, we talked about that being motivated. Carnival Nation, maybe Chappers comes back in, but rest Burns. I thought Burns was all right. I think didn't obviously get on the end of stuff and maybe create stuff, but I thought his energy getting in behind
running.
Definitely caused Millwall defensive problems. And again, you know, Welsh international, I quite like the angle of playing him. Romeo similarly says Broadhead must play. Neil Atkinson team will be unchanged for Swansea, except possibly Travis Wolongo. Yeah, a lot of consensus for that. Rob says, nice headache for McKenna to have. Exactly right. Yeah. Nick Bruce, should it be Drennan or Hawkins? Those were the days. Pittman or Sears, says Neil. And Mullet confirming the pronunciation of Ali Al-Hamadi for us. Romeo, probably going unchanged unless Mass needs a rest. Yeah, it feels like good consensus there. Chris Hutchinson, it looked really good on Wednesday, but I doubt Swansea will be as easy to play against as Millwall. Not
if they play the high line, I think they will be. Yeah,
perfect for pace, isn't it?
Yeah, very much for pace and ball carriers.
And Paul came out, did a great job of managing minutes in the second half against Millwall. So I think it's possible we'll see that's the same 11 on Saturday and switch it around.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? Yeah, you know, end the week on a high, and then for Rotherham, you bring in the likes of Sarmiento and the rest to kind of get them some game time, and then go back to the more established 11 for Birmingham next week.
Good stuff. I'm Mullet. Sarmiento, Al-Hamadi and Jackson off the bench could be tasty.
Jackson's pace could be crucial, couldn't it? We're probably not in the days anymore where Caden Jackson is a starter, you know, been a decent servant, but you know, he's not a striker. He did well when Hurst was out, but off the bench, that pace against high, tiring defenders, not high as in drugs high, as in a high line, could be absolutely immense.
Don't do drugs, kids. Yeah. Says Seb Brown from the Blue Monday podcast. Moving us swiftly on, it's predictions time. And rallying after a shocking week.
Did I win?
Is me. No, unfortunately not.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, boy, he's dropping F-bombs, folks.
It's 47 minutes in. I thought I might have won the way you said it like
he's
that.
He's just talking about, he's just gone rogue in the last few minutes, hasn't he? No, unfortunately not. But it was really close, actually. And do you know what swung it for me?
The Ipswich game.
Ipswich to draw against West Brom. Yeah, I won by 1 point. But there's 1 point in it between me and the Telegram, folks. You need to do a little bit of catching up. But well done. 7 points is pretty good going. You beat Chris, at least.
You're so patronising. I know. So patronising. Great job, little buddy.
Yeah, you do really great. You know, so keep trying. And
we're announcing a forfeit. Or are you
this time next year?
Are you getting another T-shirt made up? Or
yeah, well, I knew that if I was going to get. I mean, it's not over yet. Telegram.
How many rounds ahead of me are you?
I am 5 rounds ahead.
And we've got 12 to go, 13
yeah
to go,
but some midweeks in there, isn't there? So okay, probably
yeah
8 or 9 rounds maybe, so it's not over. We shall see. But yeah, we'll talk about it. Look, the T-shirt you still got, right? Or did you burn it?
I kept it. You didn't put a year on it, did you? So I can just wear that every year.
Yeah. So we'll recycle. It's good for the environment.
The opening game of every season, I'm gonna be sat in the Greyhound wearing that sodding T-shirt in 30 degree weather.
I'm gonna get you on the pitch for it as well.
But walking out as a mascot holding Sam
mascot wearing it
at 6'4" next to Sam Morsey. Brilliant.
They wear their charity T-shirts over the top of their shirts. That'll be you. I'll get 11 of them made. Brilliant. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on the league form. But here's the predictions around this week, and let's start right at the top. Seb, we talked about it last night with Joe. Southampton obviously losing Tuesday night live on Sky at Bristol City, and not a great game to bounce back with, is it? West Brom at home, and you're going for none of us have got hope for Southampton. It's kind of, if you want anyone to try and deal with Southampton, it's Carlos Corberan, isn't it?
Yeah. He'll probably shut them down, won't he, and stop them playing out. And yeah, it's an incredibly, it's probably, aside from Leicester or Leeds away, it's probably the hardest game to go to, isn't it, in the league? And it's not what you want coming off an unexpected defeat in midweek against Bristol City. So I have gone for the draw. I think they might get a point out of it. But you and, is it Chris again from Telegram?
It is Chris.
You and Chris both confident that West Brom are going to do us a massive favour. And that would be huge, you know, if we can win and they drop even more points the second week on the bounce, that would be absolutely massive.
Yeah, I mean, if they win, though, big statement, isn't it? Big statement. So
it is, but West Brom are so good at the Hawthorns, aren't they? And Corberan is excellent against these kind of high pressing. They got a point at Leeds earlier in the season. Obviously, did a number on us to beat us there and draw at the weekend. So he knows what he's doing against these kind of, you know, these kind of patient build-up attacking sides. So more of the same, please, Carlos.
Yeah, and bounce back. Well, don't bounce back from the draw with us. Beat Cardiff 2-0 midweek as well, didn't they? Plymouth Leeds, we're not expecting anything apart from Chris, who's going for a 2-2 draw. You can't see past Leeds against anyone at the moment, can you?
That said, in the FA Cup game, it was 1-1 at 90 minutes, wasn't it? True. So I'm assuming Leeds made loads of changes. But in the not too distant past, they have got a history of drawing at 90 minutes. So more of the same, please. I can't think who the manager is now. It's the guy from Stephen Gerrard's club, isn't it? But I don't know what he's called. So yeah, more of the same, please, Plymouth.
Yes, there's a few managers I couldn't tell you who they are.
What's he called? Yeah, I can't think what he's called. Put it in the chat. Stephen Gerrard's ex-assistant manager from
he's the Plymouth manager. So yeah. Asks
who invented the skip?
Bobby Moore. I don't know. Let's get back to it. Any other games that Mogga Derby at Birmingham? I'm kind of thinking that Mogga might get some revenge there. You're going for a 1-1. Sunderland just can't.
I've made a mistake there. I put down a Birmingham win. I must have entered the wrong thing on there. Oh yeah, that's my fault.
His 1-1 is written as 1-1.
Isn't he only one in 10 or something there? So yeah. I'd like Mogga to beat them, have a wry smile.
Yeah, Hull, Huddersfield, interesting Yorkshire derby situation. We're not expecting. Well, look at Chris has gone kind of.
He's big with the scorelines.
He's mob happy. I think he wrote in Telegram. He's gone for a 4-1 Hull win. We're not expecting any joy for Middlesbrough. Leicester, Norwich, piss off Norwich.
It's getting annoying now, isn't it? Although Jonathan Rowe's out, isn't he, for a couple of months?
Is he?
He might be out for the season. Yeah, I think so. Isn't he out for nearly the season? But the Sergeant's back, isn't it? And when Sergeant plays, they've got a really good record. So, yeah, annoying.
Let's go on to us. And you and I are going for 2-goal deficit victories. You're going for the clean sheet. I'm going for the conceded. And look at Chris Rann, 1-4. That's the confidence that we want. Show me you're working behind Ipswich 2, Swansea 0 or Swansea 0.
The logic was they don't score many at home. They don't shoot that often at home and they're not many on target. So they are a side that struggles for goals at the Swansea.com stadium. That's why I think we might keep a second successive clean sheet. Now Burgess is back in the side. And I think, a couple of goals, hopefully by half time. Bit of game management in the second half. Give the likes of Al Hamadi off the bench and, the squad players a bit of a run out. And a job well done. Get back over the border with 3 points in our pockets.
How much does it cost to get over the border these days? Do you know
that? Did they make it free?
Do they? Because it was like 5 or something, wasn't it?
Are you basing that on Gavin and Stacey?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the services as well.
I thought you were,
I'm up for a jam Darnie Hash as well after this as well. Let's see what folk in the chat have to say. If Chris, if you're around and want to give your working for 1-4, I'm going to go for a Cameron Burgess goal from a corner, by the way. I've got Bolton away in my brain.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Yeah,
okay. When the fun stops, stop, folks.
Do you think we will concede?
I think so. Burgess does make a big difference, but we do have this weird knack of conceding crap goals, don't we? So that's all I'm thinking about there.
Kiefer Moore to keep his run going.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, he seems to like playing in the orange shirt, which I assume we'll be wearing. So. Yeah, why not? Kiefer Moore scoring in Wales would be good, wouldn't it? Let's see what the folk in the chat have to say. Conor Nations go for another 4-0. Blimey, Swansea, not a happy home life if the 2 4-0s on the trot. Nick's matching your 2-0. Eric's going 2-2. More conservative there from you, Eric. Romeo's matching me, though, 1-3. Paul going for a 4-0. Michael, 3-0 win. Own goal, penalty and deflected goal. Blimey, a bit of a shit-out.
Very specific, I like that. Yeah,
thanks. Rando 1-2-3 trying to outcompete his uncle. I think they're 0-5, but we love the confidence as well. Paul going for a 2-0 broadhead brace. There are worse shirts you can wear.
It's a reference to my t-shirt, I assume, that you made up for me.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I'm not looking at the timestamps. Rob going for a 1-3 as well. More broadhead. Al Hamadi scoring off the bench again. Yeah, very similar to last night. Romeo, I think Soton and Leeds will drop points this weekend. We'll clip that for the podcast. Steve, it'll be an open game with goals, which Town will win by 1 goal, presumably not 1-0. Yeah. Is it kind of, yeah. And there's Ian Foster. Thank you very much, Dr. Foster, says Eric. Michael Brown, not the Michael Brown, I assume. In the FA Cup match between Leeds and Plymouth, Leeds had Somerville, Rutter, Bamford on the bench.
Crazy.
Bamford on the bench. So yeah, a little bit of rotation there. So Andreas is the Telegram contributor. Chris expecting another 1963 Boxing Day. Is that a famous day in your household, Andreas? I couldn't tell you what happened. I assume we won 1-4 on.
You very rarely see it mentioned anywhere.
No, it's surprising that, yeah, it doesn't come up. But Neil's going for a 4-1 as well. So there you go. Lovely stuff. Andres is going himself going for a 2-0. Chris, I think we'll lose concentration. Here we go. Here's the working. I think we'll lose concentration for a moment. But if we can score 4 at Millwall, we can score 4 at Swansea, he says. Mullet's going 6. Confident as always. Neil going for a 2-0. 3-0 from Reading Tractor. Ian Wallace, who is travelling across the country supporting ITFC women, doing sterling work as well, driving the coach of noisy away fans. He says the bridge is now free. So there you go. Some citizens' advice while we're here as well. Jason Alhamadi Katrick, 5-2 Town win. And yeah, there you go. And yeah, good. Happy with that, Seb?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure I'll lose the overall future, but no.
We'll be back next week to see.
Are we doing this next season? Can we end it and do something different? 2 years on the bounce is too much, surely.
Well, we could bring back whatever. We could end it right now if you wanted to, Seb. If you're happy to forfeit the rest of the season.
Well, it's not. No. You can't make rule changes mid-season. It's like VAR and kind of Football League rules. So we'll have a chat in the summer. But I think 2 years on the bounce of me being battered on a Thursday evening is taking its toll. So I think we should bring back Room 101.
Okay. Well, we'll put it to the comments and the chat. Let us know. Or if there's another feature that you'd like as well. But Seb's obviously, I can understand that. You know, there's a point where...
You're so patronising. You're so patronising.
Maybe just get better at it. That's the thought as well. Maybe do some practice in the summer. We'll be back next week to see how Seb's got on, everyone. Go on, good buddy. You're trying your best. We love you here on Blue Monday. You're trying your hardest. You can do it. Good. I think it's my turn to say goodbye, isn't it? So we'll
We're undefeated. We drew against West Brom and we won against Millwall. So yeah, the baton stays with you until the end of the season, because we won't lose again now. So you can take us into the Premier League.
Yeah, with me every week. Oh, do you want to do the plugs then?
I will do. Let me get the scripts. I'll remember what they are. Obviously, like we said, in partnership with the Greyhound, this show. So please make sure you get down there. If you're on the weekend at a loose end, swing by for a pint. And if not, make sure you go there before Rotherham pre-match and Birmingham pre-match next week. Check out the merch store. Check out Telegram. Make sure you tune into the flagship show on Sunday with the Holy Trinity, the three wise men of Ben, Dave and Joe. And then come and join the slightly two less wise men with me and Mikey after the Rotherham show for instant reaction next Tuesday night. Please leave us a review on YouTube or podcast
app of choice.
That's the one. And make sure you give us a thumbs up. And I think I've done them all now. I think that's about it. And thank you, as everyone, for getting involved in the chat, giving us your predictions, etc. Hopefully another 3 points on the weekend. And my friend, it's your turn to take us out in your best Welsh.
In my best Welsh, yeah. I'm not going to go there. Thank you, everyone, for sticking around to the end. Lots of lovely comments. Thank you, everyone, for getting involved. We see you on Facebook as well. 3-7 thumbs up from Shane. 1 Joe Fares is out there as well. Scott, Steve, Ewan, Adam and Elliot, thank you for watching on Facebook. Do give us a thumbs up before you leave here on YouTube as well, as Seb has said. NordVPN, link in the description. And look out for our socials for the ticket giveaway for the Rotherham match as well. A couple of tickets in the West Stand. So get involved in that too. And as always on this show, come on, you Blues!
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.